A Man of No Equal. We're doing a study on the subject of grace. Of course, the legitimate question would be, if we're studying grace, why are we looking at the law? Well, I'm going to touch on that real quick. We've been at this for 9 weeks, and well, actually, I think closer to 11 weeks. We're now up to law number 3. Now, how many of you have found this study on the Ten Commandments to be an interesting study? I sure have seen things from a whole different perspective than what I have been used to. But let me give you this quick overview, because I'm afraid that there are times when we forget what it is that brought us to this point, okay? And it's important for us to remember why we are where it is that we are. Because we're not really studying, or we didn't start off with studying about the law. We started off with studying about grace. What we have learned, though, is that grace gives us such freedom that many times we intentionally or even unintentionally abuse grace. And so the law, Jesus said, I've come not to do away with the law, but to be a fulfillment of it. The Bible also teaches us that it's through grace that Jesus Christ came, and that Moses gave us the law, but Jesus gave us grace. And so the two of them, the law and grace, they walk hand in hand with each other. They are not adversaries. They are complementary. And so the law will tell us whether or not we are walking in grace. Commandment 1 is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. If we are walking in grace, we won't have other gods. Commandment 2 is, I forgot what commandment 2 is. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And what's number 2? Right, no graven images. We won't have things that take away our faith if we are living in grace. Okay? So that brings us down now then to law number 3. Exodus chapter 20. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me or beside me. You shall not make unto yourself any graven image to worship it, or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that's on earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy and steadfast love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Verse 7, which is where we are today, you shall not use or repeat, Amplified says, you shall not use or repeat the name of the Lord your God in vain, that is, lightly or frivolously, in false affirmations or profanely. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Verse number 7 out of the King James reads, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The New International Version says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord. And for those of you who happen to read a particular translation called The Passage, it reads, no using the name of God, your God, in curse or silly banter. In other words, when you're just going back and forth with each other, you don't use God's name. Matter of fact, now I'm speaking of the message or reading out of that reference just now. Marcia, or it might have been Missy. Anyway, somebody recently told me about a great website. It's BibleGate.com. And you can go to BibleGate.com and put in the verse that you want to read. And then they got another little thing over here, and you can click what version you want to read it in. And they've got 24 versions. And they've got even some that are in other languages. But I think that in English, there's probably 12 different versions. And it's free to use, and it's called BibleGate.com, and I like it a whole lot. No using, according to the message, the name of God or your God in curse or silly banter. Why is that? That is because, sorry, those of you using church Bibles, that first reference is on page 38. Why is it that God tells us not to take his name in vain? According to Proverbs 22:1, The Amplified Bible reads, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver or gold." We are funny about our names. Yes, we are. We are funny about our names. When I was a kid, I had a teacher when I was either in kindergarten or elementary school or something, and she called me Donnie. And my dad was not very happy about that. And he went to my school teacher and he said, "I know he's little now, but look how big I am. And I have a feeling that one day he's going to be a big boy. His mother and I put a lot of thought into his name. We named him what we wanted to name him, and guess what we didn't pick? We didn't pick Donnie. His name is Don, and we would appreciate it if you would call him that. My daughter's name is Rebecca. It's spelled R-E-B-E-K-A-H. When she was a child, her friends would call her up. "Hey, can I speak to Becky?" "Sorry, nobody lives here by that name," and I'd hang the phone up. Somehow or another, along her life, she picked up the nickname Reebok. People used to call us that, "Can I speak to Reebok?" I'd say, "Nobody lives here by that name," I'd hang the phone up. Because her mother walked through the valley of the shadow of death in order to give that child life, gave serious consideration as to what she wanted that child to be named. That's what that child is named. And we like for people to call our names the right name. Sometimes people look at my handwriting and they go, "Is that Don or Dan?" How many of you know that I've never said Dan? Because that's not my name. Dale Carnegie teaches us, and if you go to your Dale Carnegie How to Win Friends and Influence People seminar, he will tell you that to people, their name is the most important thing to them. And that not only do you need to remember it, you need to repeat it, and you need to repeat it often. Nobody likes for their name to be mispronounced. And when people mispronounce our names, we correct them. And if you have a difficult name and somebody that you don't know actually pronounces it correctly, you get this sense of, "Hey, they pronounced my name right." Because names are important to us. And how many times have we been in a conversation and we used someone's name and somebody else went, "Oh, I know K-N-O-W. I know them." Because we have an identity that is also attached to our names. When not only is it our name, it's our branding that says this is who I am, our name also tells about our character. "Oh, I know them. They're a terrible person." "Oh, I know them. They're a good person." Our names tell an awful lot about us, and our names are our identity. You know, I just thought about this when I was studying for this week, but I can't remember who it is. Maybe somebody else in the room can. But there is somebody that George Bush doesn't like, and he mispronounces their name every time he uses it as an insult. Saddam Hussein. And he does it intentionally. Because mispronouncing someone's name intentionally is an insult. We even call each other names. Baby, sweetie, honey. Hey, you. Or, you all know my word, moron. We even call each other names. Because we are known by our names. God's name is important to Him. Look with me at Numbers chapter 14. Those of you using church Bibles, it's on page 53 in the First Testament. Some people call it the Old Testament. You can call it whatever you want to, but it's not really that one is old and one is new, because they're both still relevant. So you just had a first one and then you had a second one. In Numbers chapter 14, beginning with verse 11. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will this people provoke, spurn, despise me? And how long will it be before they believe me for all the signs which I have performed among them? I will smite them with pestilence, and in I will smite them with pestilence and will make of you, Moses, a greater nation, mightier than they. Verse 13, but Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear of it. You brought up this people that you brought up this people in your might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, Lord, are in the midst of this people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and that your cloud stands over them, and that you go before them in a pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, verse 15 says, if you kill all this people as one man, then the nations that have heard of your fame will say, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he swore to them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. This is what, Don Hall, the gospel according to James Hall, Jr. Let me rephrase this. Moses said, you can't wipe these people out. If you do, it's going to ruin your reputation. Because the Egyptians saw what you did to them, and then they went and they told everybody else about what it was you did to them. And now then, if you don't do what it is you said you're going to do, all these nations are going to rise up and go, well, I guess God couldn't deliver on his promise. In other words, it's your reputation that's at stake. It's your name that is at stake. I mean, how many times have you ever told just one lie and then had to tell the truth 50 times to ever get past having told a lie one time? God said to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, when Moses and God were carrying on the conversation out there at the burning bush, and Moses said, who am I going to say sent me? God said, you tell them that I am that I am. When the New Testament was being written, the I am that I am was translated the Lord. It was written in Hebrew this way, YHWH, because Hebrews don't use vowels. But then when the New Testament was being translated from Hebrew over into Greek so that you and I would be able to have it, the vowels were then added and the name was Yahweh. You have your Y, your H, your W, and your H, and then you just add the vowels and you get the name Yahweh. And so that is the correct, as best as we know this side of eternity, that is the correct pronunciation of God's name. There really isn't any historical or biblical proof that in the Old Testament that Hebrews did not say God's name. Excuse me, not Hebrews. Jews did not use God's name. Now, some of you may not be aware of this, but there are even Jews to this day who will not pronounce God's name. They won't even write it. They'll put a G, a dash, and a D. Because they take this third commandment of not using the Lord's name in vain, they take it so far that they just won't even use his name at all. It's kind of in the same tradition. When Wesley and I went to the debate on whether or not you can fall from grace several weeks back, one of the preachers there who was involved in the debate is reading. Now, I just think this is so foolish. Okay. He's reading the scriptures and the word hell comes up, and while he's reading it, he stops and he goes, H-E-L-L. This guy is so religious, he won't even say the word hell. There was also the word damnable. He spelled that out too. Because he wanted to stay so far away from profanity that his pendulum swung all the way the other way to where even, I'm going to tell you something. If you're between in the beginning and amen and it's written in there, you can pronounce it. It'll be okay. Because I'm going to tell you where it got pronounced first, right across the lips of the Holy Spirit. And if it fell across his lips, it can fall across yours. Now, am I saying don't be careful how you use the word hell? No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying let's find the balance in the middle. Okay? There's no proof, though, that in the Old Testament that Jews did not say God's name. It actually was a tradition that came up during the medieval period, during the Crusades and all that. As a part of tradition, we don't do that in order to not use God's name in vain. Okay? But that is not something that actually, you know, something that God cares about one way or another. Let me also say that the name God is not a good name either. Because there are lots of people living right here in this city, and you use the word God, and their mind picture goes to a whole other place than where your mind picture goes to. Now, in this room, I use that because, you know, as opposed to the best we actually have now is Yahweh. Oh, here we go. Sorry. Is Yahweh. But I use the word God because in this room, I'm hoping that all of us are going to the same mind picture. But there are people who, when you use that word God, their mind picture is totally different than our mind picture. So even I love God. You know, when I hear that from people, I'll go, who is God to you? In fact, I don't even like to use that word. I don't even try to do this anymore, but if I were to be involved in a conversation where I was trying to identify whether or not someone else and I were on the same track, here's the question I'd ask them, who's Jesus to you? Well, he was a good teacher. Well, you lost. He was a good man. Well, you lost. He is God's only begotten Son who died on Calvary's cross for the forgiveness of my sins, and I've made application of his blood over my life. Now you're saved. But even the name God is not a very good name, but don't be afraid to use that name, because in the disciples' prayer, you understand there's no saying in the Bible, there is a Lord's Prayer in the Bible. You find it in John chapter 17. But the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, is the one that begins, Our Father, which art in heaven. And what's the most important thing Jesus teaches us to pray as disciples? Hallowed be your name. And so the third commandment deals with respect and reverence for God's name. Remember with me even that in Luke chapter 1, God comes to, let me put it this way. The Holy Spirit comes to Mary and says, guess what, young lady? I'm getting ready to grab you up by your ankles, turn you up on your head, and shake everything that is in you out of you. I'm going to ruin your reputation. I'm going to threaten your life. I'm going to make everybody who loves you question you. I'm getting ready to take your whole life and destroy everything that you have ever known. Now, we don't read it that way, but that's exactly what happened. Okay? And it would have been nice if he had finished that conversation by going, but I'll tell you what, I'll let you name the baby whatever you want. But she didn't even get that privilege. I'm going to turn your life upside down. I'm going to take away everything you've ever known, every area where you've ever been comfortable in your whole life. I'm going to bring a sword between you and your mama, between you and your daddy, between you and your neighbor, between you and your fiance. You're going to be all by yourself. And oh yeah, by the way, we're going to name it what I want to name it. When Joseph had his dream and the Holy Spirit came and said, Joseph, Mary's right. He even reiterated at that point, and listen, we're going to name the boy Jesus. Names are very important to where even the forerunner of Jesus, who of course was John the Baptist, had a miraculous story to tell, incident that happened in his parents' life surrounding his name. It wasn't until his father wrote the name John that his voice came back. So names are important. But you know that we have been given an awesome privilege to be able to know God's name. Abraham in the Bible was referred to as a man of great faith. And in Hebrews, he's used as an example of a life of how we should live. And I think that most of us in this room would have a tremendous amount of respect for Abraham and for Isaac and for Jacob. But I'm going to tell you something. You and I have been given a privilege that these guys have not been given. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 3, it reads, God is speaking to Moses, and he said, I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I appeared to them as God Almighty. But my name, Yahweh, I did not make myself known to them in great acts and miracles. You see, God came to Abraham and he said, you're going to know me as God Almighty. In other words, of all of the, you've got to understand too, when God appeared to Abraham, Abraham was not a Christian. Everybody remember that? Abraham was just as much a heathen as everybody else that was living around was a heathen. He had all of his little Buddhas and all of his little statues and all of his little, one of those things like where you don't walk under a ladder. Superstitions. He had all of his little superstitions and he had all that kind of stuff, you know. But God came to him and said, you're going to know me not because I am the God who saves. You're going to know me as the God who's greater than all the other gods you think are out there. Exodus 6:3. You're going to know me as the God who is almighty, more powerful than everybody else. But to Moses and at Calvary and to you and I, God didn't come to us at the beginning as the God who is almighty. He came to us as the God who saves. He used the same name with you and I that he used with Moses. You're going to know me as Yahweh. Everybody follow me so far? Okay. All right. So, after all that introduction, Commandment 1, thou shalt have no other gods before me, deals with gratitude. Commandment 2, thou shalt not have any graven images. That deals with the subject of faith. Last Sunday night when I went to bed, I was laying in the bed trying to get to sleep. I couldn't get to sleep and I was thinking to myself, what is commandment number 3? So I got up and I went back into my desk and I looked at it and it said, you shall not misuse or take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So I went back and I laid back down in the bed last Sunday night. And I was just thinking to myself, wonder what that means. Wonder what that means. And I'm sure that it had to do something with respect and reverence. Those were the two words that I came up with when I was just laying in bed. But before I get down to the meat of this commandment, let me clarify one thing for you also. There are people, and please understand, my job is not to change you. My job is not to make you change. My job is just to tell you what the truth is. And you do whatever you can do between you and God in clear conscience. Alrighty? But God does not have a problem with you putting your hand on a Bible in a courtroom and swearing to tell the truth. Because when you put your hand on that, put your left hand on the Bible, raise your right hand, here's what I'm saying. I am going to tell the truth. It will be the whole truth. And every word that comes out of my mouth will be nothing but the truth. I'm going to tell you something. God will stand right beside of you while you do that. Especially with your hand on His Word. It is okay to say, I swear. It's okay to say, I affirm. That's every time I've ever been in court, that's what I always said. I affirm. But there isn't anything wrong by promising to do what's right by God's name. But if you're going to use God's name, you better do what's right. Now, we've been on this subject before when we were looking at the Sermon on the Mount, so I won't reiterate a whole lot of that. But it did bear repeating at this particular point with what it is that we're talking about. Because when you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, God doesn't mind joining in with you on that. Earlier I said that this commandment was about respect and reverence. But now I want to call us to something else and get down to the real point. Using God's name in vain. Using God's name in vain boils down to the sin of name dropping. That's what it boils down to. It boils down to the sin of name dropping. Let's define name dropping. Using someone else's name in order to inflate my ego, my credibility, and my word. Using someone else's name in order to inflate my ego, my credibility, or my word. When we break commandment 3, what we are doing is we are committing the sin of name dropping. Giving you a chance to write that down. All of us have done it one time or another. We've got somebody that, you know, that we respect, or someone that somebody else would know. And so we say, well, you know, I met so-and-so once. What's that? That's dropping their name in order to make my credibility look better. I've done it 1,000 times. Am I the only one who's done it 1,000 times?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, okay. Okay, then I'll just preach to myself. Get me a mirror. We've all been in conversations where all of a sudden we remember somebody else we met, that if we tell this person that I met that person, they're going to be impressed with me. Have y'all been around long enough to remember Don Francisco? He wrote the song He's Alive. And I stayed in Don Francisco's bedroom when I was sleeping in Atlanta one time. That's called name dropping. Now, it doesn't mean anything to you if you don't know who Don Francisco is, but if you know what a pioneer of contemporary Christian music he is, that's pretty impressive. I was one of the speakers at the original convention where Kathy Tricoli made her first debut. Ooh, if you know who Kathy Tricoli is. The other night, Michelle and I are okay, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't tell this. But don't tell my dad.
Oh.
Bunch of Southern gospel junk. I'm just kidding. Now, actually, we were enjoying watching a Gaither concert, and Evie Tornquist was in the audience. Anybody remember Evie? Two of us. Remember Evie Tornquist? Well, I was on the music scene long before Evie ever got there, but I'm not singing with the Gaithers now. You know, it's name dropping is when you say something and you bring somebody else's name in it in order to make your credibility look better, or to inflate your own ego, or to add credibility to your word. See, sometimes we'll be telling somebody something and they'll go, I just don't believe you. And you'll go, hey, I swear to...
Okay.
And what you're doing is you're name dropping, you're adding credibility to your own word by using somebody else's name. That's what commandment number 3 is talking about. Yes. No, that is not what blasphemy is. Let me define blasphemy. Blasphemy is where you give, how do I want to phrase this? Blasphemy is where you give the devil credit for something you know the Holy Spirit did. That's what blasphemy is. Okay? And the scribes and the Pharisees were bad for it. Jesus would heal somebody, and what did they say? He heals by the power of the devil. Now, they knew good and doggone solid well the devil wasn't healing anybody. They had 4,000 years of history all written down, and nowhere in there did the devil ever heal anybody. And when you attribute the works of God to the devil, that's what blasphemy is. Okay? All right. Now, I'd like for you to turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to get down to the meat of this commandment here. The first one deals with being ungrateful. The second one deals with living by faith. The third one deals with name dropping. Matthew 5:33. Again, you have heard that it was said of men of old, you shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oaths as to the Lord as a religious duty. But I tell you, do not bind yourself by an oath at all, either by heaven or by the throne of God, or from the earth, for it's his footstool, is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you are not able to make a single hair white or black. But let your yes be simply yes, your no be simply no. Anything more than that comes from the evil one. Here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that if you're going to be a child of mine, if you are going to be a child of mine, you need to have the kind of reputation where your word is your bond. You know, I've told you before that if you're not going to be the best employee that your boss has, please don't tell your boss you come to church here. Don't tell him you know Jesus. If you're not going to be the best employee your boss has, please do not mention Jesus in front of your boss. Because as a believer, we don't work for another man. We do what we do as unto the Lord. So it should always be better than anybody else's around us. Because we are working for a higher cause and for a greater purpose. Amen? Amen. If you're going to join in the office gossip and talk about, you know, the person over in the other cubicle, don't at some point later on tell them you're a Christian. And certainly don't tell them you come to church here. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Not Saturday as in yesterday, but a week ago Saturday, I was out working in the yard, and my wife, bless her heart, she knows, we've been married long enough now, she knows all my little idiosyncrasies. And one of the grandchildren was over there, and I was working in the yard. And how many of you know that whenever you're out working in the yard and a grandchild is there, they want to help you? And how many of you know that the help is not help? And it's just in my personality that that kind of thing gets on my last nerve real quick. I'm just sort of like, don't you have toys to play with or something? But I am trying to learn. I really am trying to be a little more patient with that stuff. Michelle calls it, Don, smell the roses. And I know what that means. That means you're going 190 miles an hour that way, and you need to pause a moment. So Michelle says to me, honey, I need to go inside for a minute. Will you watch Jamie? And I said, yes. She said, now I know how you feel. And I said, Michelle, I said, yes. Now I understand that you already know how I feel about that. But once I've said what I'm going to do, that's the end of the subject. You don't need to go back and explain it to me and let's talk about it. We don't need all that. If I had said no, you could have talked to you blue in the face and passed out, and the answer would have been no. But the answer was yes, and so it was yes. It's over. Discussion's done. One of my children called me a couple weeks ago, invited me to a party. One of those parties that starts with a P. I-T-Y. Not pajama. Not pajama. Pity. Well, I don't go to those kinds of parties. When you tell me what the problem is, you know what you're going to hear from me? Well, I'll tell you what I think you need to do. I'm not going to get down there with you and go, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I'm going to say, this is how we fix this. Well, I hung up actually feeling a little bad about that. I was like, I know that what I said to them was not what they wanted to hear. But I told Michelle, I said, I really don't know how to be any different, and I don't know that I want to be any different. And Michelle said to me, she said, honey, one thing that me and the children know is this. Number one, you're not coming to our parties. And number two, when we do ask you a question, you are always going to tell us what we need to hear, whether it's what we want to hear or not. Now, how many of you know that reputation I can live with? I can live with that reputation. Because what Matthew 5 says to us is when you say yes, it needs to be yes. And when you say no, it needs to be no. Now, just because, and please understand, I don't care in the slightest little bit what everybody else in the world's doing. I'm talking about us. And our yes needs to be yes, and our no needs to be no. Examples. There we go. Examples of name dropping. You ready? Number one, swearing. Matthew 5 says, don't swear by things on earth. How many times have we heard someone say, I swear on my mother's grave?
Yeah.
Well, guess where your mother's grave is? It's on earth. Jesus said you don't need to swear on your mother's grave. You need to be the kind of person who has a reputation for integrity that when you say you're going to do something, it happens. So don't swear. How many times have we heard, I swear by all that's holy? Huh? I swear on a stack of Bibles. High's my head. But when we swear and then pull God's name into it, I swear by all that's holy, or I swear on a stack of Bibles, or I swear to... Thank you. Then we are name dropping. We are taking someone else's integrity, someone else's character, and we are endeavoring to boost our own. If you were to say to me, if I were to tell you something and you said to me, you swear? I'd go, no, but you can take my word on it. And I'm going to tell you something. If that's not enough for you, well, then that's all there is. You know, that's going to be enough, or we can't do business. Swearing is, it's easy. That's right. The peanut gallery woke up. Because the Bible says that the tongue, it just wag away. But what the Bible also says is that the Holy Spirit brings the power within us to control that rudder that stirs the ship of our lives. And we can control what it is we say. And we need to be very careful that we don't violate law number three. If we say we're walking in grace, then in the mirror, we will not hear ourselves swear by God or swear by earth or swear by Jerusalem. We just won't swear. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the whole truth. I'm telling you nothing but the truth. Sometimes when my wife and I are on a touchy subject, I'll say to her, if I ask you a question, will you tell me the truth? You know what her answer is? If I decide to answer your question, it'll be the truth. Now, you know what that answer does? That answer gives her the right to say, I'm not going to answer that question. You know, now I'm going to get off on one of my pet peeves. Please, for God's sake, stop lying to your children. If you don't stop that, I'm going to, one time, I'm going to, two time, I'm going to, three time, I'm going to, that's lying. And our kids, they don't know when we're telling the truth and when we're lying. And don't say you're going to do something if you're not going to do something. I promise you, when my kids were coming up, if I ever said to them, if you don't stop that, I'm going to wear your rear end out. There was never any question in their mind as to whether or not Daddy meant that. They didn't have to get together and go, what do you think he meant by that? Not one time. Stop lying to your children. Be mature enough to pause, think about what you're going to say, say what you mean, and then do what you said. Sometimes I'll get asked a question by my wife or by my children, and I'll say to them, I'm going to give you the opportunity to take that question back because you're not going to like the answer. And I've had my children say to me, because when they ask me a question, they're going to get a straight answer. Examples of name dropping, swearing, number two, threatening. If you do that, God's going to get you. Well, I'm sorry. Who gave you the right to speak to God, as to who he was going to get and who he wasn't going to get? Well, you know, if you do that, you're going to bring down God's curse on you. Well, I don't know that. What I found is that when I go and I do that, I bring my own curse down on myself. It's not that I bring God's curse down on anything. It's just that I take God's covering off of me whenever I do something stupid, and the world falls down on top of me. But how many times have we threatened? Husbands do it to wives. Well, you know what the Bible says about a wife? What you're supposed to be doing. Well, let me tell you something I have found. Speaking of reflections, I have found that wives are a reflection of their husbands, and husbands are a reflection of their wives. And that if the relationship is healthy between a husband and a wife, we don't need to threaten each other. Somebody say, that's right, preacher. Because guess what? That's right, preacher. I don't need to threaten my wife with anything. And I wish she would stop threatening me. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But I've even had people in church upset with me about something. And I've had people say to me, I'm going to pray and God's going to correct you. And I say, good, I can use all the prayer I can get. Because how many of you know I'm more scared of them than I am of God? Because anybody that...
Yeah.
Moron. Those are the kinds of people you need to be afraid of. But how many times have we threatened our children? Or threatened our spouses? Or threatened someone else as we've endeavored to try to drop God's name in order... Here it comes again. In order to control another person. C word. And God says, don't take my name in vain. Hey, if you and your wife are fussing, leave me out of it. Unless both of you are wanting to forgive the other one, then I'll be glad to come and join your party. Number one, swearing. Number two, threatening. The third way in which we example of name dropping is breaking a confidence. Now, I told Michelle on the way to church this morning, if I would quit at point number two and not go to point number three, I wouldn't upset anybody, I don't think. But I can't quit at number two. I always got to say something that is upsetting. According to Psalm 25:14, the scriptures read, the secret of the Lord have they who fear, who revere and worship him, and he will show them his covenant and reveal to them its deep inner meaning. Now, let's remember that name dropping is when we use someone else's name to make us look good. Okay? Remembering that principle. All right, then here's the question about breaking confidence I want to ask you. Can you receive a word from the Lord and not have to tell somebody? Can you and the Lord be in, let's say you've taken some time out to pray, and the Lord speaks to you during your prayer, can you keep that secret? Can you take a word from the Lord and not have to go tell everybody, oh, I got a word from God? Now, let me get back up here where everybody can see me. Let's make sure now we're talking about a balance here, all righty? Because there isn't anything wrong with sharing a word that the Lord gives you. The question I want you to ask yourself is this. Why am I sharing it? Am I telling Samima that I got a word from the Lord because I want Samima to know how that God speaks to me? That's name dropping. That's not name dropping. Exactly. But you see, we as believers, we find it hard to believe that God will tell us something and then God doesn't want us to repeat it. And so while I was, you know, and of course I always loved those people. It was 3 a.m. and the Lord woke me up. Why is it important to us to tell what time it was?
That means you're really holy because you were asleep.
Exactly. Of course, I always figure he had to wake you up at 3 a.m. because you were so busy doing your own stuff at 3 p.m. he couldn't get your attention. So he had to wake you up on your time because you were busy running your mouth on his time. That's what I figure. But all of us, many of us have said that. All of us have heard that. Now, please hear me. There's not anything wrong in the world with God waking you up at 3 o'clock in the morning to tell you something. There's not a thing wrong with that. What I'm simply saying is that when you repeat it, what is the motive? What is the intent? Am I trying to tell you this because I really want you to hear what it is the Lord said to me? Or am I embellishing what it is the Lord said to me in order to make me look better in your eyes? That's name dropping. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm thinking of a particular situation that I've been in a couple of times.
Okay.
In the middle of the night. And I won't say that the Lord woke me up, because sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night.
Okay. But
the Lord told me to pray. And in two particular instances I can think of, it was your mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I prayed. And then whenever I saw them again, I asked them, you know, the Lord told me to pray for you and such. Was there a problem or, you know.
Right.
Is that? I mean, because that was my only concern.
Okay. Once
were they okay? Did something happen?
Right. And as long as that's the only concern, then we don't have a problem. See, because we're not talking about... See, God is not nearly as concerned with what we do as He is with why we are doing it. This is the thing... Now, let me back up and give you this real quickly. This is the thing you've got to keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen. There's going to come a day when everyone who is right now sitting under the sound of my voice is going to be standing in front of a huge fire. And on the other side of that fire from you is going to be God. He's going to be sitting on His throne. And all of your life is going to be picked up. And some of it, right, and it's all going to be thrown into this fire and you're going to be standing right there. And some of your life is going to get burnt up like wood. Some of it's going to get burnt up like hay. Some of that, you know, there's a difference in the speed in which hay burns and wood burns. But once your life is all burnt up, we pray to Jesus that there's going to come back out of that fire some gold and some silver and some precious stones. Now, here's what we as crazy Americans have got to get into our heads. What comes back out as gold, silver, and precious stones is not what you did. What comes back out is why you did it. And that's two entirely different things. Let me give you an example. You got this guy. Oh, yeah, I'm going to heaven. Oh, I know I'm going to heaven. How do you know you're going to heaven? I've been a faithful member of my church for 40 years, and I've been a Sunday school teacher for that whole 40 years I've been there. You know, it could very well, and this is where I get myself in all kinds of trouble, but God knows, people, this is the truth. If God called you to teach Sunday school for 1 year, and you taught it for 1 year, and you taught it faithfully, there's a gold, silver, or precious stone with that. If after that you continue to do it, you are in sin. Did he just call Sunday school teaching sin? That's exactly what I just called it. Please do not misunderstand me. Because God doesn't judge what we do. God judges why we did it. I used to ask this question all the time when we were in the Baptist church. If we quit listing in the bulletin who put the flowers on the communion table, would the flowers still be there? Now, how many of you know that made me real popular? The flowers are giving today in loving memory of Mrs. Jones by her beloved husband in celebration of their 50th anniversary. Seems like to me I remember reading something about, if you'll do it in secret, I'll holler out about it. But if you holler out about it, my lips are. Don't you remember reading something like that? It's called name dropping. Yes. Okay.
Like you just said, you
yeah, speak up where everybody can hear you.
Somebody did something like in secret, and if like you know about it and you just feel proud that they did it, is that bad, like saying that they did it?
Okay, good question. If you know somebody did something in secret and you're proud of them, is it bad to acknowledge being proud about it? Okay, here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. I would be willing to bet that you are obviously thinking about a specific situation for which I cannot give you a specific answer without a specific situation. So all I can do is take the question with a broad brush and then answer it with a broad brush. Okay? But here's the answer to your question, and here's the answer really to your question. The answer is this: every child of God is led by the Holy Spirit, and whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, that's fine. Well, but you know, I just don't know that every word that comes out of my mouth, I run through the filter of the Holy Spirit. Problem number one. Right there. And that's the soapbox that I'm on. I want every thought that crosses your mind. I want every word that crosses your lips. I want everything your eyes see, everything your ears hear, everything your nose smells. I want the attitude through which you look out through your eyes to be a reflection of who Jesus is inside of you. I want you to take a paper towel and I want you to drop it down in the water, and then after you leave it in there for a minute, I want you to pull it out and separate the wet threads from the dry threads. You say, well, that's the craziest thing ever. The whole thing's going to be soaked. That's what I'm looking for out of you. I want you so immersed in the person of the Holy Spirit that there's not a thread of you that He just isn't dripping out of. So that everything you do, every time you're riding down the road and you just by habit throw your hand up, I want it to be the hand of Jesus waving at the person going by. When you speak to someone in the grocery store, I want it to be Jesus speaking to that person in the grocery store. And so I can't speak to that specific situation without knowing the specific situation. But you know, that specific, the answer might be yes, and that specific, the answer might be no, because the criteria is not a yes or a no. See, that's where grace gets so fuzzy. Because grace one minute may say yes, and to what looks like to you the identical same situation, the next instance grace may say no. But the way I want us to look at it is the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Either way, blessed be the name of the Lord. If He tells me to speak, I can speak. Blessed be His name. If He tells me to hush, I hush, and blessed be His name. But can the $100,000 question before us this morning is can the Lord speak to us in secret, in private? There are things I say to my wife I will never repeat in front of you. There are things my wife says to me I won't repeat in front of you. Do we have the kind of relationship with the Lord where we can keep a confidence? Where He can say something to us, and without us name dropping, without us trying to boost our own ego, boost our own credibility, boost our own word, we can keep a confidence between us and the Lord. Preacher, you're a long ways out there. Yes, I am, and I'm enjoying swimming in this over my head. There are times I get tired, and I just kind of have to wade the water a little bit. But I'm enjoying swimming over my head. We have to ask ourselves this question. Is what I'm about to say going to make God look good or going to make me look good? That's all I'm talking about this morning. That's what "do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." That's what it's all about. When I get ready to use His name, is the use of His name and whatever it is I'm getting ready to say going to make Him look good or going to make me look good? Everybody got that? All right. Then let me conclude with this. What is the correct use of God's name? Well, according to Psalm 34, out of the Amplified, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." Out of the American Standard, in order for us to come full circle, out of the American Standard, "Oh, magnify Jehovah." Closest thing we've got to being the correct name this side of eternity so far. "Oh, magnify Jehovah with me, and let us exalt His name together." You want to use His name correctly? Praise Him. You want to use His name correctly? Adore Him. You want to use His name correctly? Give Him credit. You want to use His name correctly? Just whisper it in the middle of the night. You want to use His name correctly? Tell Him how wonderful He is and how grateful you are and how much you appreciate the fact that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. And not only did He die for me while I was a sinner, He didn't leave me as a sinner who had been died for. He came and told me He died for me. That not only did He come and say, "Guess what? You need to be saved." He jerked me up out of the pew and said, "And I'm going to walk down there with you." And this relationship that we're starting, it's a relationship that's going to go on forever. And I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. You want to use the Lord's name in the correct tense? Worship Him for who He is. Be grateful to Him for what He has done in your life. You want to misuse His name? Complain. "Oh God, where are you?" When the correct use is, "God, I know you're here with me and I'm hurting. But I'm not calling your faithfulness into question. I'm not calling your devotion into question. I'm not calling your steadfastness into question. I may not feel you, I may not see you, I may not know where you are in the midst of whatever it is I'm going through. But I'm going to tell you something, between these two ears, I know this much, you're still faithful." Amen. You want to use His name right? Tell Him that one. Because He is. Because He has been. And because He always will be. No matter what my eyes see, no matter what my heart, how crushed my heart feels, no matter what it is that's going on, God is still faithful. He has not changed. My world hadn't rocked His world. But I keep holding my world open for Him to come and rock mine. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God lightly." Because you don't take your name lightly, and He doesn't take His name lightly. He has exposed, and that is the correct use of that word, He has exposed Himself to us as the God who saves. And we need to remember that. We don't let our pendulum swing so far, but we try to live balanced lives. Amen? Anyone have a question? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes a moment then. And Charlie, you can stay seated, because here's how I'm going to do. With our heads bowed.